When I started on Saturday Breakfast in Perth in February, I think it was, I mentioned that I'm not a huge fan of happy music. I love sad songs. And I didn't really know why until recently. I think the lyrics helped me feel, I certainly am drawn to the tonality, and I think that's because of the music I was raised on. That's what I put it down to anyway. So for me, I like Joni Mitchell, Portishead, Samuel Barber's Adagio for strings, and Sia's Don't Bring Me Down are some of my favourites. So if you enjoy sad music, this one is for you. It turns out the University of Oslo in Norway recently completed a study into what kinds of people like sad art, including music. And Associate Professor Jonna Voskoski is one of the researchers. She joins me from Norway. Good morning, Jonna.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming on. Are you a fan of sad music, firstly?
Yes, I most certainly are.
Can you tell us a song that Aussies might know? I know that we're already quite lucky that you speak our language as well as we do. Is there a song, a sad song that we might know that you enjoy?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Fix You by Coldplay.
Oh, great song. Yes, that was part of the OC soundtrack, and it was played when Marissa died in a car crash, and it was very emotional.
I think I might have seen that.
Some things are just universal. That's a very, very good choice. Yes. Why do you like the song Fix You?
For me, it's always about the sounds, the melodies, and the harmonies. I'm one of those people that don't really listen to the lyrics of the song. Something might sometimes go through, but I think it just has a beautiful melody in it.
Right. So for you, it's more about the tonality rather than the lyrics.
Yes.
Ah,
yes.
That's
always been that way, yeah.
Tell us firstly about this study. Who came up with the idea and what did you want to achieve from it?
The study or the idea actually goes back quite a long way and has a connection to Australia. So it was about 10 years ago when I was doing my PhD, and I was doing a lab visit at Macquarie University in Sydney. And the professor I was working with there, Bill Thompson, he sort of came up with the idea, like, because I had collected some data where we played emotional music, different kinds of emotional music to people, and asked about their experiences. And then we also had collected their personality data, so their big five personality traits and also empathy as a trait. And then there was this curious connection between liking sad music and particular pattern of personality traits. And Bill Thompson was the one to point out and say, like, that's interesting. I wonder if we should look into this a bit more. And since then, I've done quite a few studies, most recently this paper.
That's so interesting. How do you measure someone's ability to empathize firstly? I would think that would be quite a hard thing to quantify.
It's actually quite a simple way that we measure empathy. So indeed, we ask people to describe themselves. So there is a standardized test, or actually several standardized tests which are measuring this trait empathy, and the test that we used has 28 statements, and statements like I often have tender concerned feelings for people less fortunate than me, for example, or after seeing a play or movie I have felt as though I were one of the characters.
Yes.
And then people have to rate on a scale from 1 to 5 how well each of these statements apply to them, or how well it describes them.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
And it does sound quite subjective, to an extent it is, but actually other studies have found significant correlations between the results of these kinds of questionnaires and also how much there is brain activation to others' pain, for example. So it does seem to be capturing something reliable as well.
You're listening to ABC Radio Perth with Christine Layton. If you've just tuned in, my guest is Associate Professor Jonna Vorskoski, who is from the University of Oslo in Norway. And we're talking about a link that's been found between people who like sad music and their levels of empathy towards others. So how did you test these two things together? How did it work, Jonna?
So we made an experiment online where people from different parts of Europe and the US took part. I think we had over 300 people. And we had chosen five sad pieces that we thought we had tested in some previous studies. So five sad songs from different genres. So we had film music, rock, hard rock, and classical music.
Oh, yes. Can you tell us any of the tunes specifically? What was the hard rock one, out of curiosity?
I think we were Nine Inch Nails, Something I Can Never Have.
Okay. I haven't heard it, but I'll find it. Yeah.
But it's not. It's kind of a more ballet in that genre, I would say.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Still, the band is in the more hard rock genre.
It sure is. Wow, that came out of left field. I like it. So you played them these pieces online, and how did you measure their reactions to it?
Yeah, so we gave them these kinds of rating scales. Well, firstly, they just had to rate how intense their emotional reaction was, so whether they felt anything at all or whether they felt strong emotion. And then they also had to describe the emotion that they felt. They had seven adjective scales. So among those were, for example, how sad they felt, how moved they felt, and so forth. And they also had to rate how much they liked each song.
Okay. And what did the results show?
Well, firstly, they showed that the more empathic you are, the more intense emotions you feel in response to music, so especially sad music. And not only more intense emotions, but you also like sad music more if you are empathic.
Wow, so that can be a burden and a blessing.
yes, indeed.
You feel it and more, and you feel more for others.
Yeah, exactly. So, but somehow people with high empathy, they are able to get enjoyment out of this kind of feeling with someone else, or music in this case.
Yeah. I think that's pretty accurate. As someone who loves sad music, it certainly does give me a strange feeling of joy or fulfillment, and I've never been able to understand why. That's really interesting, and I reckon there are some listeners out there who feel the same thing. So if somebody wants to work on their level of empathy, if perhaps, you know, through their circumstance, they're not as empathetic as they once were, or they would like to be more empathetic. Mm. Can you listen to sad music in order to learn to be empathetic? Is that possible, Jonna?
Well, that's something we haven't studied yet, but I know there are some researchers who have speculated about the possibility whether that might be the case, that if you listen to music that empathic people enjoy and empathic people react strongly to, then maybe you might be able to develop also your ability to experience empathy in that kind of a context. But the research is still lacking on that aspect.
Well, could that be your next project?
Possibly, yes.
Jonna, it was great to get you on this morning. Thank you so much for giving us your time all the way from Norway. If you could pick any sad song for me to play after this interview, Jonna, what would it be?
I would before you pick something Australian, so I would say My Love by Sia. That's one of my all-time favourite sad songs.
Sia Furler is one of my favourite sad song artists. You've chosen very well. Let's hear it.
Oh.
thank you so much for your time. It's been great to speak to you from Norway.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
That is Associate Professor Jonna Vorskoski from Norway's University of Oslo. You can read more about that particular study at medium.com.